He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council is sitting here looking pretty at the table. Buck Rising back at the studio because we are live down at SEC Media Days. If you're just tuning in, this is where all the magic happens. All of the teams from the SEC will be down here represented over the course of the week, and all of our shows will be hanging out here giving you the best SEC content you could ever imagine. In the process, Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Walker Chevrolet all help make this possible, so we want to give a big thanks to them. And this is the crazy part about SEC Media Days. Every time you think you have a plan of where you're about to go, you never know who's going to walk up. So we just have Booger McFarland, and from Booger we go to maybe even a bigger celebrity, at least in the eyes of us. Chris Childers, you hear him on these very airways with the Legendary Coaches Show. He's also on Sirius XM, and just one of the better minds in all of college football.
Host a full ride from 9 until noon Central Time on College Sports Nation with the Rick Neuheisel.
Right, the Rick Neuheisel. And now the third, we don't want to say third wheel because he's too awesome for that, but he comes in for this, and really makes can tell that we're friends with Chris, and
we're third wheel on his show. He's third wheel on our show.
Yeah, that's
fair.
Okay?
That's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so Chris Childers walking by, and we just grabbed him with, like we've got like
my
a hook here.
He
and
had
just
my press credential in his car, so I had to get it from him.
That's how I showed up.
and suddenly Chris is
thanks
now.
For coming
exactly.
Back.
No, it's good to be here.
So I want to give you a quote that we just – this is the word that Booger McFarland just used on our airwaves to describe how Tennessee is going to be this year. This is the word. I want your live, immediate, honest reaction.
Yeah.
You have not heard this yet.
No.
The word was abysmal. Tennessee is going to be abysmal this year. Reaction?
I disagree with that. I don't think they're going to be abysmal. I think they could be average to above average to maybe good but not great. There's a lot there, but I just want to say average is the worst case.
So
I don't think abysmal
is in the cards. To above average to good but not great. Is that what it was?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Okay. Here's the thing. They're in the SEC East. They're not in the West. This version of the Vols might sink in the West. But you have a league with Kentucky who's getting better but not great. Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt. South Carolina's getting better, and I love Bentley. But I still think they're pretty limited talent-wise. So at that point, Tennessee can't be abysmal. Like, if you finish at the midway point in the East, you're not abysmal. And the thing about it is, at the top of the East, we don't know how good Florida's going to be. We have no idea what's going to happen at quarterback. Is Zaire going to be the guy? If he is, can he be productive? If he's not, what do they have in Felipe Franks? You look at Georgia, their offense was abysmal last year. So I'm not convinced yet they're going to be able to move the football that much better this year. So I don't agree with that. I think Tennessee has a chance to be average to good.
I have sort of changed gears on this. I think a lot of our conversation around Tennessee in February and March and April has been, this is a rebuilding job, and fan expectations aren't going to match the talent on the roster. I'm starting to swing around towards the talent on the roster being way better than people think.
It's not bad.
They've recruited at a very high level. And Georgia and Florida, to your point about the East, aren't so far ahead of everybody that Tennessee, if they take strides and they achieve at the level they're supposed to, that they can compete. Here's my question, though, about today specifically, because you've got Burt Bielema and you got Coach Yo-Yo-Yo all going to be on the stand today.
Yeah.
Big stars, big personalities. What would be your advice to Butch Jones if you're the PR director for Tennessee football? What message would you want him portraying? What words do you want him using?
See, I'm not a big fan. To me, it doesn't matter if you win Media Day. I know everybody was all excited about Steve Spurrier, and he would always win Media Day. And I think people forget about it in a week. And we're on to the Big Ten, and we're on to the ACC. And then after that, nobody really cares about anything that was said at Media Day because it doesn't matter. And then you're on to fall camp. That does matter. Then you're on to the season, which does matter. So I think for Butch Jones, don't say anything stupid. Like, no champions of life stuff. Just have – see, for me, for Butch, I think it'd be refreshing if he just had some sort of self-awareness. Because Butch always, kind of sugarcoats things and says we're on the right track. Well, no, you gave up 600 yards to Vandy last year. That's a problem, okay? You were the preseason favorite to win the SEC East. Everybody and their little brother in the state of Tennessee thought this was the breakout year. And you lost to Vandy in South Carolina and went 500 in the league. Have some self-awareness. Say, you know what? Last year didn't work out. It wasn't the year we anticipated. Here's how we're going to try to fix it. Don't keep telling me about champions of life. Don't be sugarcoating it that you're on the right track. You aren't. But tell me how you're going to get there. That's what I want to hear from Butch Jones today.
what is the lowest level that can be accomplished by Tennessee this year that still keeps Butch Jones secure in his job?
I think 8-4. I think 8-4 is fine. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule right now.
It's a tough schedule.
They're not going to beat Alabama on the road. LSU, if LSU becomes the team I think they can be, I don't think they win that game. And I'm sure there's a couple of other losses along the way, probably in Gainesville. So I think 8-4 probably keeps them employed, and I think that should keep them employed.
And I think it depends on how you get there, too. I mean,
sure.
They were 9-4 each of the last two seasons, but those are wildly different 9-4.
Yep.
So
yep.
If Jarrett Garantano looks like he's the guy and he's developed really well and the defense stays healthy and they're playing in close games the whole season, then I think 7-5, 8-4 is fine. But if you go to 7-5 and you're losing to South Carolina when you're a 14-point favorite and you're giving up 700 yards to Vanderbilt, then all of a sudden it's a totally different feel and vibe for the program.
No, I agree, but here's my thing with that. Like, so everybody wants to criticize the defense last year, and they should be criticized. I mean, the defense was awful. You want to use that word abysmal. What they did against the run last year was abysmal. I mean, they were in the hundreds when it came to national rankings and stopping the run. That was awful. I think they were in the 90s in total D, giving up like 450 yards a game. That's not good. Okay, but here's the thing. I trust the defensive coordinator. I think last year was a flash in the pan. He had a lot of injuries to overcome, and they couldn't do it. There wasn't enough there on the roster. I think if he has a healthy defense, like he did at Vanderbilt, talking about Bob Stoops, like he did at Vanderbilt for 3 years, and he did at Penn State for 2 years, all but last year, every defense he's had in the SEC or the Big Ten is ranked in the top 25 in total D. The guy's a good defensive coordinator.
Right.
So I think if he's got some healthy dudes on that side of the football, that side of the ball gets way better. Now, I know the offense needs to catch up, and you mentioned what they have at quarterback, and I think John Kelly's actually a really good running back. I think that's a nice threat that a lot of people overlook. But if that defense can get fixed and healthy, I think the coordinator's good enough to get that side of the ball right. So I think they could have a pretty decent season because we forget, and I know there's no excuses, and you got to hold people accountable. But they went 9-4 with pretty much every major part of their defensive personnel out. So just keep that in mind as you judge last year's Tennessee football team.
Let me ask you a question then about the rest of the East, specifically Georgia. Am I reading too much into the entire thing that Georgia did not bring their young quarterback? Jacob Eason is not coming as a representative. They don't have a quarterback at all representing them at SEC Media Days. Am I reading too much into that, or is that some statement of disbelief in him?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're reading a little bit too much into it because the kid's a sophomore. Now, I know you're going to have some other underclassmen here.
Shea Patterson's here from Ole Miss.
But
Jalen Hurts isn't here.
I get all that. Yeah. But obviously, you look at Kirby, and there's somebody else that he sees as the mouthpiece, the guy who's going to represent the Georgia Bulldogs. And keep in mind, you know, Kirby came from Nick Saban. He's a Nick Saban disciple. And I think Saban was kind of weird about having young guys come up and represent his team. Now, obviously, Hugh Freeze, not the same, because he's got a Shea Patterson out there.
But
Shea Patterson seems to be the only point of happiness in Oxford right now.
Is it not changed, though, when a young guy is part of what – I mean, a young quarterback that's playing well, that's playing the way Jacob Eason a year ago – the way we thought Jacob Eason would be playing today should be the mouthpiece for your franchise, for your program, should he not?
Yeah, and I don't even know who they brought. I haven't looked at the list, but I assume
Nick Chubb is here. Chubb's a much bigger star.
That's the mouthpiece right there. Even though I think there's a lot of people that forget he still plays football, because a couple of years ago he was such a big deal. Then he gets injured, and then last year the offense wasn't very good, so nobody really talked about him.
And Sonny Michel is here,
Sonny
too.
Sonny Michel and Roquan Smith.
So when you've got three veterans like that, and Michel and Chubb are the stars.
I don't read it.
But I like that you're trying to read into it, though.
I still read into it.
I think that's fun.
You got two running backs coming in. Do you really need two running backs that are, like, are two running backs your mouthpiece for a team? And what statement does that make if it's your mouthpiece for a team that's supposed to have this hot, epic quarterback that was going to change the entire SEC and be the guy? Like, a year ago, the billboard on Eason was so huge. It was so, oh, my God, this is going to be special. And now he's not even here.
But that's the thing. Like,
I mean, Jalen Hurts was SEC Player of the Year, and he's not here.
Yeah, don't read too much into that. And Saban would never put him in front of the media.
Right.
Like, Saban wants the guys that are the
juniors.
That's
Saban. He can do whatever he wants. That's like Belichick. Belichick and Saban live to their own standard.
But Kirby's in that mold. You know, Kirby came from that powerhouse. Kirby was running the defense, winning national championships. You know, that's the guy Kirby learned how to run a program at a high level from. And there's no shame in Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb being the reps on offense, because I mean, as great as I think Easton's going to be, those two guys are established stars. And everybody knows them, and you're comfortable hearing from those guys. Now, would I like to hear from a Jacob Easton? No doubt about it. I'd like to hear about his development. Where are you year two? Who do you have at wide receiver? Because that's one of the big questions. Who's going to catch balls for Georgia this year?
Sonny Michel.
With you? Well, yeah, he's no doubt.
The running back.
No doubt about that. He's a big threat in the passing game. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't read too much into it because those two dudes on offense are pretty darn good reps in Chubb and Michelle.
Follow him on Twitter, at Childers Radio. Listen to him on these very airways with the Legendary Coaches Show. And also you can check him out full ride on SiriusXM College Sports. Man, we appreciate you stopping by, and we appreciate that you let us commandeer you.
It was a pleasure.
The pleasure was all ours.
You're very handsome today, sir.
Yeah, so Braden wanted to be the best dressed person here, and I went with the worst because I have a T-shirt on.
But you always look good. It's okay.
Well, thank you.
You always look dapper to me.
I appreciate that.
Chris Childers getting us all caught up there. Dari Noka going to join us up next. You guys know I've been talking about Xfinity. I made this switch. Well, you know about the Wi-Fi. Do you know about the X-Fi? You should know about it. It's ultimate personalized control. So you got kids, you can set parental controls, bedtime schedules. You can make sure your kids are getting to the right content at the right time. You can pause all the Wi-Fi access from any device or profile in the whole house. So if you're sitting at the table and nobody will get off their phone, you want to have a nice family dinner, bam, you can just pause it right there. And be sure to ask about new Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. Get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity internet service with no activation, no line access fees, plus 2 easy data options available so you can stream entertainment on the go, save along the way. Got an offer for you. Here's what you need to know. It ends July 31st. Requires enrollment, Eagle Bill, paperless billing, restrictions apply. Wi-Fi claim based on Xfinity gigabyte server, router coverage and speeds on 5 gigahertz band. Offer valid for new customers only. Fees extra subject to change after promo. Regular rates apply. Fleet installation limited to standard installation on one outlet. Non-standard installation equipment taxes, fees, or extra. Here's what you need to do. Get started with Xfinity Internet for as low as $19.99 per month for 12 months. Xfinity Internet, perfect for everyone. So be sure to call 1-800-XFINITY or visit Xfinity.com and make the switch to Xfinity Internet today. When we come back, one of the biggest stars on your television, Dari Noka, going to join us. We'll get his thoughts as we continue staggeringly good SEC media coverage on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, he's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Dari Noka joining us.
I have not heard this since I was on the bus in fifth grade. This
but
is
the amazing
great.
Thing is you still know every word.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, this
everyone under the age of 30.
So far, what we've
learned. You're like, who is that? Is that the Temptations? No, it's
this morning board. We've learned that Dari Noka still knows the words to that song, and we've learned that Booger is a closet country music fan because he did that thing where he protested it, but then he listed like all of. He's like, I'm not a fan of, and he just started listing country act after country
Let me explain this to you. Okay, so here's the deal. Booger and I have totally different tastes in music. Now, I can't stand country music, so I know I'm offending half of your listening base right now.
No, it's okay.
But, all right, I'm with you in Boog.
Okay, so all last year, we would play this game on the radio when Booger was filling in for Mel, and he's doing it again this summer, so we play this game. I'm a big 80s, 90s, even today, rock, alternative, like that's my style. I can't stand country. Well, he knows more hip-hop. I don't know anything hip-hop-wise, and he knows like the songs that everybody hears. So we'll play a song coming out of break, and I'll say like, all right, Boog, who is it? And it could be like, for instance, we had Smashing Pumpkins. Okay, like Saturday morning I told our board up. I said, all right, let's come in with 90s rock and alternative, right?
So smells like Teen Spirit.
Well, so a little Nirvana, right? But so we go a little Smashing Pumpkins. Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage, right? And he goes, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh my God!
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God!
Right? And his go-to is Kenny Chesney. So, like, he'll I bet you he mentioned Kenny Chesney.
He did.
So he lists all the ones that he's heard of. It doesn't mean he likes them. It just means he's heard of them.
It sounded like you just offended him, and I don't like that, Dari.
I love Boog.
Well,
but Boog knows, like, he could play something for me, and I'd never know it.
Well, we'll stick with Booger because I want to get your reaction to something he just said on our very airwaves. His quote about Tennessee. We have to thank him because we're going to replay this 1,000 times. His quote about Tennessee is that the Vols are going to be abysmal this year. What do you say when you hear that?
I say they have upset him the last two seasons because he has picked them to win the East each of the last two seasons, and they've disappointed him each of the last two seasons, and I think he's mad. I think he's mad. I think he. I don't think he believes in Butch Jones, which I understand. I think a lot of people don't believe in Butch Jones. I'd be surprised if he thinks they're a 7-win football team. I don't know that that's what he's saying.
Because abysmal, I know that he, pretty bad.
Abysmal is to me. Boog saying that, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but this is how it would come across to me: is I'm sick and tired of picking you. You have disappointed the heck out of me the last 2 years, so I'm going to talk really mean about you.
Do you know the last time Tennessee did not win at least 5 games in a season? Seriously.
Well, they did it under it wasn't Dooley, right?
1977 is the last time they did not win at least 5 games.
Well,
they're
going to win 5 games,
right?
Did he give you a number?
No, but he did say abysmal to me is like 4-8. Florida going 3-9.
Notre Dame last year abysmal, right?
Like Florida going 3-8 or whatever it is. They had the weird non-game that year and Muschamp. Like that's abysmal.
That is abysmal.
And every program in the SEC has had those years when they cycle down. Tennessee hasn't even had that. Their worst years are 5-7.
So abysmal though is relative, right? Tennessee going 6-6 would be abysmal. I would say Tennessee going 7-6 with a bowl game would be abysmal, wouldn't it?
I think so.
I think
Vanderbilt
last year,
going 3-9 is not abysmal.
Right.
It's Vanderbilt, right? Although they're better now, and I hope they win. I'd love to see them win.
I think it's I think it's about expectations. And last year's Tennessee team, they like 9-4 felt bad for Tennessee fans last year. But last year had 7-6 happened. While being the overwhelming favorite to win the division, I think that qualifies as abysmal. I think people perceive this as a rebuilding year. So if they go 7-5, but they're really competitive,
does he have time for a rebuilding year?
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I mean that's the direct question to you. Does he have time for a rebuilding?
No, I don't think he has time for a rebuilding year. No, I think if they go win seven games, there's a change. I think there has to be a change. Ooh. Here's part of it to me. Part of this is how many games are you winning? Yes, you win 8 games. Do you win 9 games? You can't lose to Vandy in South Carolina again. That cannot happen in the same season. Under no circumstances is that okay. The other part of this is Butch. I think people are – you tell me. You guys are there in Nashville at least. Are people sick of hearing Team 121? Are people sick of brick by brick?
Yeah.
Do you care if you're the champions of life? Drop the cliches. It has to stop.
Yep.
It has to stop. Don't be a machine that spits out the same statements over and over again. Win football games and beat teams you're supposed to beat and a couple that you're not.
Which is why he got a gift by being on the same day with Coach O and Brett Bielema, who are the two biggest quote machines. I think if he gets by today without making a single headline, he can only lose media days. I don't think he can win it. But if he doesn't say any of that cliche stuff, then he's fine.
He could win it by speaking, like letting people in a little bit to who he is. Like, speak a little truth and don't give us the ridiculous line after ridiculous line. Like, be human. Be personable. Let us connect with you. He can win. I don't know. I tell you what, I don't know him really well, but it was 2 Aprils ago I did Tennessee's spring tour. We do the spring tours, and I spent 2 days with him. Like, I really like him. He was cool, laid back. We talked baseball and shopping and you know, we had lunch together and breakfast together. Like, it was cool, but then you get the camera on and it's same stuff over and over, and you don't see that. And there is that side that you want to see.
You're listening to Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're hanging out with Dari Noka, who you can follow on Twitter at ESPN Dari. My question to you is, do you think he's even aware? I think because you're talking about it, we're aware of it, the fans are aware of it. Is Butch aware of how tired that act is?
I don't know. What time's he speaking today? We'll find out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if it all continues, then no, he's not aware of it.
Because if he comes out today and he says, man, you know, things didn't go the way we wanted last year.
Yeah, just say last year was disappointing.
We need to play better. We're just working on fundamentals because there's things that need to be addressed. I think that's a huge win. Like, if he comes out and it just seems real and honest.
We were disappointed.
Yeah.
We realized that this East is – there's no reason we can't win the East. Look, I realize we have a change at quarterback. We're losing a 4-year starter. But we don't see that as any reason we should not win the East this year. We should be in Atlanta. That is our goal. Anything short of that's a disappointment. You get all that? Great. Great. We're continuing to build this program brick by brick. That's tired. We're all sick of it.
Well, and it works when you're rebuilding and you've built a roster and you're almost beating Alabama and almost beating Florida and you're close and you overachieve, it works.
Yeah.
When you're a 14-point favorite to South Carolina and you lose by giving up 700 yards to Vanderbilt, those lines don't work anymore. So,
right.
But it is funny though that, like, in general as the media, you know, we want you to be honest and be yourself and be open, and then sometimes you do that and we go, "Oh, I can't believe he said that." So there you can't make the whole media happy, you know, and everybody sort of has their moments, but there's a fine line there where he's going to have to walk the line between being human and not, but not saying too much.
I don't think, at this point, I don't think he could say too much. I think if he just, if he opens up and lets people believe that he's done with the cliches and the coach speak, I think that's a win. I think if he says one or two inflammatory things, that's a win. Because
interesting.
I don't think he can, I don't know. There's nothing he could say that I think we would say, oh, he shouldn't have said that. We need to hear Butch say something.
Let me ask you about the other side real quick. I know you got to go, but
I'm good.
I look at this Auburn discussion.
I'll stay another side. Right, come on, whatever you want.
Well, you just offered it.
I mean, at some point, I got a shower, but other than
no, you don't. Actually, can we keep you for a few more minutes?
Yeah.
All right. So
let's perfume.
This is what because I want to ask you about the West and Auburn specifically, but I don't want to cram it. So let's do that on the other side. I'll ask Dari Noka about the West, about Auburn, and we'll keep the conversation going.
Guys,
1 or 2 5 a game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. We're down at SEC Media Days because of Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Transportation by Walker Chevrolet. Fantastic work by them. We'll be here all week, and in all of our shows, in fact, will be, and we'll be getting you the best of the best. Wow. Choked. I'm choked up. That's what happens when I see Dari Noka. I just get choked up.
So I'm looking over there to see what you're eating.
Name that song.
So Dari.
Can't name that song. Way too slow.
Dari, earlier, Booger accused me of kidnapping him and forcing him to come to the table. And now I've actually done that with Dari. Dari was here and ready to go. And we were like, no, look at me. I am the captain now. And now he's.
Booger is a lot harder to commandeer.
Yeah,
that's disrespect to you, Dari.
Yeah, well, that's because people want to talk to him.
So,
by the way,
he's just a large man.
I didn't mean to knock country music. That was a short sighted, mean spirited thing
to
you, Fitzy.
I don't listen to country music most of the time anyway, so don't.
we're good. But it depends on what country music you're listening to. You know, TV's John Butchergrass.
I went through a phase. Like in the late 90s, where I did listen to it.
I moved
to Montana for 2 years, and I couldn't find a radio station in northwest Montana that wasn't country, so I had no choice.
I like some of that 90s country. That's part of what brought me to country music. Yeah. Like, I like that Garth Brooks era in there. So.
And my roommate and I used to watch CMT because there were a lot of hot girls on it.
So we've got more in common. You don't have to worry. We got more in common. So let me ask you, the whole reason I kept you is because I didn't want to cram you on this answer, but let me ask you about Auburn, because here's my thought, and this is going to sound outlandish, okay? But if we're going to make the argument that Auburn is the team that could unseat Alabama in the West, if we're going to make that argument that somehow the stars could align, then don't we have to make the argument that Alabama could, in fact, win the national championship?
You're talking Auburn.
I'm sorry, Auburn,
okay.
Auburn, I misspoke
there.
Dari was very confused.
Yeah, so was I. So was I. That's what happens. Too much caffeine.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You okay with that?
I'm okay with that. I don't like, in from an SEC perspective, as a person with no affiliation to any team whatsoever, I think Auburn may be the best bet, but this league needs a number two. Because the longer this league doesn't have a true number two, the longer the ACC can say we're better, the longer the Big Ten can say we're better. And there is this such thing as conference pride. It comes from the headquarters. It comes from a fan base of everybody that's not Alabama that leans on Alabama to say SEC, SEC, SEC. There needs to be a number two. And I tend to think Auburn, like you, is probably the best bet to be that number two. I think Georgia's interesting as well. I don't know where I see a surprise coming, to be honest. But I suppose, yes, if you're saying that Auburn has a shot at Alabama, which I believe they do as well, it all rides on Jarrett Stidham's arm. And we remember what we did to Jeremy Johnson, and I hope we don't do it to Jarrett Stidham.
That was Gus's fault. I blame him.
You do?
Well, I mean, the media took it and ran with it, but, like, Gus brought him here. He never started a game for him, you know?
What SEC quarterback, according to FPI, if you've seen this, has the best chance to win the Heisman Trophy?
I'm assuming it's Jarrett Stidham.
It's Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah.
Wow. Here we go again, right? Here we go again. And I want to be real careful not to throw too much on his shoulders. But if they can throw the football, we know they can run it. We know they can play defense. They should be solid up front. That probably is the second best team in this league. If they can beat Alabama, sure, they can make the playoff.
And it seems like even back to Tebow in 08 with Alabama, going against Alabama in the SEC championship game, there's sort of a blueprint for beating Alabama, and it largely involves things that are sort of out of your control. You have to get them into a one game situation where it's winner take all. You need some luck, kick six, whatever. You need a transcendent quarterback that's going to do something special. Deshaun Watson, Tim Tebow, you know, Cardale Jones doing something crazy. Like, it takes all of these things to line up to
beat
Alabama.
You just made Cardale Jones a transcendent quarterback.
He was a transcendent quarterback for three games.
He was.
But that's the blueprint to beat them. And when you look at Auburn, you go, all right, end of the season, could be a one-game situation mm-hmm. where you're playing for the SEC West. Mm-hmm. You've got a potential. You would need Stidham to be that guy in that mm-hmm. situation. And then you probably need a couple of bounces. You get him at home. I feel like that's why people are pointing at Auburn.
I think people are pointing at Auburn because they need and feel like we've got to point to somebody. if status quo is not going to hold, you know, there's got to be somebody. Who better than a team that gets him at home? Who better than a team with the name that's coming into the league at quarterback that everybody's talking about? Who better than a team that has a really good defense despite losses of Adams and Lawson? And those are legit losses. We need to pick somebody. We don't trust LSU. We don't trust Tennessee. We don't trust Florida. We don't trust Georgia yet. You got to pick somebody. South Carolina and Kentucky are going to be interesting.
Mississippi State, baby.
I know you're huge on
it. I'm big on Mississippi State.
I love Nick Fitzgerald. Love Nick Fitzgerald.
They're not going to win the West, but I just think they could beat him at home, pull an upset maybe. Who knows?
Could you make – this is Braden and Fitz. We're talking to Dari Noka from ESPN. Dari, could you make the argument that the SEC is just not going to be as good last year – or this year as it was last year?
I don't think it was great last year.
Exactly. But
so the SEC need – here's the problem. Like, I think South Carolina could be a real surprise. I think they could win 9 games potentially.
Wow.
And I think Auburn – is going to be better. I'm worried about Florida. I think Georgia's going to be better. I'm worried about Florida. I'm worried about LSU. I'm worried about Arkansas. Like, you're going to have two or three teams rise, but you might have three or four teams fall. Like, I think there's a legitimate concern that this league, at the end of this season, could be the third best league in the country. And that is not okay. Like, it's not okay. We need a 10-win Auburn, 11-win Auburn. We need an 11-win Georgia. We need somebody. I don't care if it's Arkansas, if it's A&M, if it's South Carolina, if it's Florida. Another team in that 10-11 win conversation. We need to get to the middle of November with no fewer than two teams in contention for a playoff spot. Three would be great. If we have anything shy of that, then it's not a good year for this league. And that's the expectation it's set for itself.
But can you have it both ways? That Alabama is just that much better than everybody else, but that everybody else still is better than every other conference. Like, you still go 2 through 12 in the SEC, and you're still going, like, look at the bottom.
I don't want to go 2 through 12, though. Like, I want to go
1 through 4.
I want to go 2 through 6 and have that 2 through 6 be better than any other league's 2 through 6. Because I'm not worried about one. We know one.
See,
is
I think
fine.
You could, but I think you can make that case right now with every team, every league. I just look at the.
I don't know, man.
Like, I mean, the Big Ten has got three good teams. The ACC still got two great teams, and that's it. The Big 12 is behind everybody right now from a talent perspective, and the Pac-12's got pretty good balance in their divisions.
Okay.
But
you can't. But the third, number three, and number four can't be 9-win South Carolina. Number three and number four can't be 8-5 A&M. Like that.
You want number three and number four to be 10-win.
Here's what I want.
But Saban gives you too many losses.
I want Alabama in the top three. I want Auburn in the top six. I want Georgia in the top eight. You do that, and then you give me, you know, give me 8-win South Carolina. Give me 9-win Florida. Give me 8-win LSU. And I realize, like,
that's why Wisconsin got 11 wins, though, is they beat all the bottom half of their league.
Correct.
They beat Purdue, Northwestern, Illinois, Maryland, Rutgers.
If this league ends up with five teams with six losses, I'm okay with that if it gives us eight or nine teams with 8 or 9 wins.
Right.
And I think you can have that. If you want to beat up on the bottom of this league, beat up on the bottom of the league. As long as your top half of the league is you've got three teams and you got six teams in the top 20, I'm great with that.
And to your point, all of the ifs, and you, that's one commonality we have from everybody we've talked to this morning, is I feel like these statements are huge loaded statements. If Stidham plays well, then Auburn can do this. If Jacob Eason continues his development, Georgia can be that. If they find a quarterback in Florida.
This is right now. It's July, though. That's what we do, right?
And so, right, but if we're going to take all the ifs to a positive, I do think that it's only fair and balanced in the argument to look at all the ifs in a negative. And to me, there's a staggering if here that could lead to Florida not being all that great, Georgia being less than we expect, Tennessee not being all that great,
sure.
Auburn having a letdown, and all of a sudden you look at it, and across the board, there's at least an if scenario that has the SEC, in my mind, is not very good this year.
There is that. There's no question there is that. And I'm curious, I'm curious to hear Greg Sankey this morning, because is he going to acknowledge that last year was not what they need, want, or expect as a conference in terms of football strength. There was no national championship. There was no Heisman Trophy. And there was Auburn was the Sugar Bowl team. You had to pick somebody from this league to be in the Sugar Bowl. Auburn was not a Big Six bowl team. Absolutely not a Big Six bowl team. They got blasted in that game. And, like, that's what I mean. If that's the number two, and if that quality of team is the number two this year, we're in trouble as a league.
I think you could stretch it out even further than that. I think all of college football is down in general outside of three or four people that have consolidated power. In Columbus, Tallahassee, Clemson, and Tuscaloosa, mostly. Maybe Ann Arbor you can throw in there too. And James Franklin's doing some work at Penn State. But for the most part, we had the number three team in the AP poll last year. The first time in history a three-loss team finished number three in the AP poll. To me, that's the sport is always great on Saturdays. It always delivers drama. It always delivers excitement. But I think the sport as a whole is down outside of five or six teams.
What if I gave you like 12 that could be in the playoff and they wouldn't be?
I think 25 teams can make the playoff.
I think
three can win the national title. You see, like, winning those two games in that playoff situation, having to beat Alabama and Clemson in back-to-back weeks, there's very few teams that can do that. There's 25 Michigan States that can get in.
That's fair.
But winning those two games, how many teams can actually do that?
Does it have to be one conversation, or can it just be two? Can it be two conversations? College football may be down, and then conversation over here, the SEC may be down. I'm not sure.
I think the SEC is down, but I think it's still the best league. It's hard to look at other leagues.
Let's see. Until we get a number two, and I wouldn't hate to have a three and a four, then it's down.
Well, he's always number one to us. You can follow him on Twitter at ESPN Dari. You see that? So that's professionalism right there.
No, that's well done.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's what reps will do for you, Fitz.
Dari Noka joining us on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Braden and Fitz. When we come back, we'll tell you what really matters for Butch Jones and why it's not going to happen today. We'll do that next up, Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Buck Rising is back at the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. The rest of the team, Kevin Kyle, is out here. Julian Council out here. Braden Gall and Jason Fitz. We are Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are down at SEC Media Days, and it started to fill in. Guests everywhere, people walking around. It has been total chaos. I have to stress this to you. If you do not have the Game National app, go get the Game Nashville app, because all of our content goes out there on demand. You can reach to a lot of this stuff out there. I want to make sure you're not missing anything.
We've already got controversy.
I mean, Barrett Salee came in. Matt Stinchcomb came in this morning. Chris Childers was in. Dari Noka, Booger McFarland. We have had a stacked morning with some quotes.
We haven't finished 3 hours.
And it's just, it's total chaos. I feel like Kermit the Frog. That's my analogy. Always like running around, arms flailing in the air. You never know who's going to run by. And it's not just our show. I do want everyone to know that all of our shows today and throughout the week, for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all of our shows are going to be coming to you from here, from SEC Media Days, thanks to the good people at Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gaskets, and Walker Chevrolet. So huge, huge love to them for helping make this possible. This is a fantastic thing. By the way, we want you to sign up for our $5,000 home improvement contest. Don't sleep on this. You got to go to thegamenashville.com. Register to win $2,500 of furniture and bedding from Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, along with your own spa, valued at $2,500 from Four Wind Spa. It's brought to you by Atlantic Bedding and Furniture. Your style, your budget, Four Wind Spa. Relax, you've earned it, and your friends at 102.5 The Game. So go check that out. So Butch Jones is going to speak today. And at SEC Media Day, three teams will be speaking today. You will hear from LSU. You will hear from Arkansas. You will hear from Butch Jones. And the win today, I think, Braden, you said something earlier that I think is true. I don't think Butch really has much of an opportunity to win here today. The only way Butch wins, because I'm not sure you can really change Butch. Butch has gotten to this point, he's Butch. And I feel like this is almost the Les Miles argument. At some point, you just look at it and say, less is less. Butch is Butch. The only thing that's going to change isn't Butch. It's the results on the field to where you can tolerate Butch. That's the only thing that can happen. The only win
right.
for Tennessee is to win on the field to the point that you still roll your eyes, but you accept it. It's like, you know, when you've fallen in love with the love of your life and there's one fatal flaw that drives you crazy, you'll accept it because you love them, right?
Right?
That's where we have to get right now. The fan base doesn't love Butch, and because they don't love Butch, they can't accept his fatal flaw. I don't think Butch is going to change. I think the results have to change so we can actually fall in love with Butch.
No, they go 9-4 and and they almost beat the national champion. They almost beat the SEC East champion. They almost beat the playoff team and Big 12 champion, Oklahoma Sooners. And everybody's – and they don't care what he says. When you go 9-4 like that and then you smoke a team in a bowl game, when you go 9-4 like that, no one cares what you say. It doesn't matter. Like, all of this stuff we talk about with sports, it all disappears if you win big. Like, Greg Hardy was on the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Because he could get sacks. That's it. If he continued to sack the quarterback, he would have stayed on a roster. Like, we will put up with a lot for championships. We will put up with a lot for winning. So we will certainly put up with a few bad cliches, brick by brick. Like, this Vol for Life brick by brick stuff, people were eating it alive for 2 years because he was rebuilding the roster, and they went from 5 wins to 7 wins to 9 wins, and they were improving, and everything is gravy and great. Now we're picked to win, and it's wonderful. Thanks, Vol for Life, Butch Jones, brick by brick guy. Like, everybody loved that.
I love it still.
Everybody loved it. It was great. And then you lose, but when you're a 14-point favorite to South Carolina – and you give up 700 yards to Vanderbilt, and as Childers has said, and as Darinoka has said, in no way, shape, or form is it okay for Tennessee to lose to South Carolina and Vanderbilt in the same season. It's just not okay. And so you then, no matter what you say after that, is not going to work. So it's really just about the results on the field. If they go out and beat Florida, beat Georgia, beat Vanderbilt and South Carolina at home, maybe they lose to Bama and LSU, and they go 6-2 and win the East, nothing that he says matters. All that matters is they got to Atlanta.
You're listening to Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game at SEC Media Days. And I want to read you this quote, okay? I want to read you this quote. And I tweeted this out the other day. When I talk about being a champion, I'm not talking about winning a championship. I'm more concerned with you being the best you can be. That quote sounds terrible until you hear that it's from Nick Saban. That quote is from Nick Saban. If Butch Jones said the exact same thing, we're all, like, throwing up a little in our mouths.
Yeah, you go 14-0 every year, you're fine.
Exactly, and that's the point. Like, the point is that Nick Saban can come in and say, it's not about winning championships. Easy to say when you're winning.
Right.
I'm more concerned about you being the best you can be. If Butch Jones said that, we would just be...
Oh, we'd kill him.
People would be throwing spaghetti against the wall. Like, people would be throwing tomatoes at him.
But
ultimately, it's the result on the field that changes the perception of what's being said.
And it happened so fast because it happened the same week of the Jalen Hurts saga. So the Jalen Hurts saga happens. He plays in that game, sort of, against South Carolina. They get beat by a team that they should not have lost to. And as a 14-point favorite, it happens. And sometimes that's what happens in college football. You lose to teams that are not as good as you, and it's okay. But you can't have it happen with all the stuff that you're talking about, with all the bad cliches. And then you have the Jalen Hurts situation where there's apparent discord in the locker room and people aren't getting along and all this other stuff. Well, when that all happens, then it's not good. Then it doesn't work. Then it doesn't play. And then you can't go out and give up 700 yards of offense to Vanderbilt in a loss to your rival in the state. And that the problem then is, all right, well, they need players healthy on defense. Fine, that's great. No more excuses. Like you can't sound like a robot. I'm very distracted right now by the smell in this area. I'm sorry. I can't even talk right now.
Axe body spray is
holy
cow. I feel like I'm in the seventh grade.
I'm about to pass out.
It's the seventh grade locker room all over again. That's what it feels
like.
Who is
responsible for this?
None of us. None of us.
I'm blaming Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel.
Well, we have seen several guys come up to our table that are fresh off of workouts, so I'm guessing somebody ran out of time. So you're listening to Braden and Fitz. We're live at SEC Media Days, and that's why you hear the noise and the chaos. It's interesting because Braden was right when this thing started a few hours ago. It was quiet as a mouse in here. It is starting to fill up. It is only going to get crazier.
I can't wait for you guys to be here Wednesday for Alabama Day. When like the entire lobby over there to our right, which is empty right now, it will be you will not be able to walk through the lobby because people want to catch a glimpse of Nick Saban's hindquarters going up an escalator. That's what they're here for.
I don't understand.
It's 12 seconds of Nick Saban's butt. That's all.
Well, I don't even know what to say to that.
Why?
Can somebody?
I'm just telling you. That's what
can
it
you
is?
Quote that? Like, or
it's
can
12
you pull that
of Nick Saban's
right
butt?
Like, I'm looking at this lobby and I'm not understanding how many people are going to be in there?
Couple hundred
in that lobby.
Yes, it's how big do you guys think that lobby is?
Where's security?
See the rope that's right there.
Yeah.
So there's a big rope that keeps the fans like in their little area underneath the main entrance, and they're all going to have footballs and jerseys and hats and pictures. Everything will be houndstooth, and they're all going to want Nick Saban's autograph. He won't sign anything. He'll come in and do one interview.
I'll sign it.
And then
honestly, sounds like my version of hell.
He'll go up the escalator, and everyone will be here. They'll spend hours driving here from across the state to sit in the lobby and look at Nick Saban's hindquarters go up an escalator.
Is it not
for
insane?
3 seconds?
What is wrong with
people?
Is it
not insane, though, that as a society, and this is sort of awesome about modern culture, if you go like 1,000 years from now and you show people a picture and you're like, so this one solitary rope kept everybody back. They were all like, oh, I can't move past the rope.
You think we're going to become animals?
No, I just love the fact that you can put up one tiny rope.
And we all follow.
And like, everybody's like, whoa, 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 do not cross the rope. Like the mob mentality should be in that situation. You know, I'm just going to go past it. Nope, no, 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 they're all going to sit there. So,
and it's just insane. You get 4 seconds to glimpse the greatness that is Nick Saban.
But Buck Rising,
the greatest coach of
among
all time.
The audio clips today, if you could make sure that we pull the it's 12 seconds of Nick Saban's butt audio along with, let's see. So now we have Booger McFarland has told us that Tennessee is going to be abysmal. Dari Noka has said the SEC could be the third best conference in football, and right up there with those quotes, we now have it's 12 seconds of Nick Saban's butt.
That's well, there's also a clip I'm working on of Julian trying to fake his way through some Tennessee defensive line analysis that I'll have for you guys by the end of the show. But let me just say he started it by saying, quote, they have some dudes. I'm really glad that you're down there doing
sound
work.
Like Steve Adazio.
What is it, them guys? It's a and then guys.
And them boys.
Them guys. And them boys.
Look,
and them
man,
boys.
Butch Jonathan Jones Kongbo and them boys.
If Jonathan Kongbo and them boys can stay healthy this year, Tennessee could do a lot of good things.
Like I said, we've
technically,
had some,
I don't disagree with that.
We've had some quotes. The biggest one from Booger McFarland a little bit ago. We want you to hear that next up, and I want to get the reaction from Braden and Julian. We will react to strong statements you have not heard anywhere else on any other airwaves about Tennessee and what Booger McFarland thinks they are going to do. We'll do that next up on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.